Lord, for your special class. Thank you for those who are serving with you. God bless you. Amen. It's been good to have Golden State Baptist College with us tonight. God bless them. And their leader that's traveling with them is Brother Burcham. And we are so thrilled to have he and his wife with us. God bless you, sir. Welcome to the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge. You come right ahead. We're praying for you as you preach tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Am I on here? Maybe I'm not. There I am. I have trouble with technology. Although I did get to help one of the boys the other day. He texted me and said, what was the address of such and such church we were at? He wanted to write a thank you note. So I sent him the address, and then I said, there is this phenomenal thing called Google. You can take your phone and you can type in a church name and a city, and it'll tell you the address. So I felt really good that I was able to help them with some technology issues and enlighten them, because very seldom do I get to do that. Usually it's my children telling me how to run my phone, I'll say, how do you make a phone call on this thing? And you can do everything except call somebody on your phone now. Have you figured that out? But we are certainly glad to be here. And thank you so much, Pastor and Church, for allowing us the opportunity to represent Golden State Baptist College. Golden State Baptist College is a ministry of the North Valley Baptist Church. We believe that every ministry ought to be run by a local church. The local church is what God set up, and everything that we do ought to operate under the umbrella and under the authority of the local church. And so Golden State Baptist College is a ministry of the North Valley Baptist Church. It was established over 21 years ago as our pastor, Dr. Jack Treiber, felt God move in his heart to begin to work to prepare a place where young people could come and prepare their lives to serve God. By the way, that ought to be the goal of every one of us, is to serve God with our life. For some, God will call you into full-time Christian ministry. For others, it will be as a layperson in the church. But I speak as a man who pastored for over 14 years, and every church needs laypeople who will serve God with their life. Just because you don't get your paycheck from the church doesn't mean you're not serving God with your life. And every church needs Sunday school teachers and bus workers and people who will sing and play instruments and serve cleaning the buildings and every other area. We need every Christian to serve God with their life. And so if God perhaps has a young person, if you feel that God is directing you to a specific area of ministry, we would invite you to consider Golden State Baptist College. It is amazing. We are located in the heart of the Silicon Valley. If you take a map and put us down and draw a circle in a 15-mile circumference around our campus, you'll find the headquarters of places like Google and Apple and Intel and Cisco. You will find PayPal's headquarters, Samsung's headquarters, and on I could go, all located right there in the Silicon Valley. Now, what that means is several things. First of all, that means it's a very expensive place to live. But by the same token, that means it's a very good place to work, because wages are commensurate with the cost of living. And so in January, the minimum wage in our community goes to $15 an hour. That means if you work at McDonald's, you make $15 an hour starting out. That means if you work at Chick-fil-A, you make $15 an hour. That means if you don't have any education, but you can show up and do a job, you make $15 an hour. That's pretty good. I wish it were that way when I was going to school. It was not, trust me. But along with that, what has happened is we have striven to keep the cost of education low at Golden State Baptist College. And so if a young person will come to Golden State Baptist College and live on campus and work a full-time job, in 4 years, they can graduate not only having their school bill paid in full, with no educational debt, with no student loans, nothing to burden them down, but they can also graduate with in excess of $10,000 in their bank account. That is a starting point for them in the ministry, so that wherever God directs them, if it's to missions, as they start on deputation, they have something that they can lean on as they begin to get going.
If God has directed them perhaps to the pastorate, maybe there's a small church that is not able to fully support them at the beginning, but they have something that can help them get going in the ministry. And we have tons of information about the school. We want to invite you to consider that and think about that and pray about that. In fact, if you're here tonight and you're between the 6th grade and the 12th grade, or maybe you just recently graduated, if you will come by the table and fill out an information card, it's just a little 3x5 or maybe a 5x8 card. It gives us things like your name, your address, your email address, what your birthday is, what year you'll graduate. That kind of information allows us to put you on our mailing list. If you will fill out an info card tonight, we have a gift for you. And you can stop by the table after the service, talk to the fellas. It does not obligate you to attend Golden State Baptist College. It puts no burden on you whatsoever. It just allows us to stay in touch with you and keep you posted on what's going on our campus. And we would love to do that tonight if we possibly could. I want you to take your Bible this evening. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31 this evening. And you know, I've traveled with these fellows. We left California on May the 26th, and we'll not be home until August the 3rd. We've been as far north as Wisconsin and Minnesota, as far east as New Hampshire. We'll be as far south as Arkansas, and probably drive somewhere close to 18,000 miles this summer. I think I could sing all their songs. I know the words now. I mean, I've heard them time and time and time again. But you know what? I still enjoy it. And I still get blessed. You know why? Because even though we may be familiar with the tune and the words, it's the message that's important. And can I tell you, sometimes we, if we're not careful, we forget we're familiar with the Word of God, aren't we? We know what it says, but oh, don't ever get over its message. And the Word of God has a message for us tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. And I want to find out what God has to say. If you're physically able, I would ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of our scripture text tonight out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. And I want to begin reading in Exodus chapter number 31. And I'm very interested because it opens in verse number 1 saying, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," the words we're reading come from the lips of God Himself. What does He say? Verse number 2, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening, and we thank You for what You've already done in our presence. Lord, thank You for speaking to our hearts and reminding us of how blessed we truly are to be citizens of this great country. But more than that, to be citizens of heaven, to know that our sins have been forgiven. And then on top of that, to enjoy all of the physical and of the temporal blessings that You have bestowed upon us. May we never forget. Now, Lord, as we look to Your Word, we pray that You would help us again. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might receive. But then, Lord, help us to be more than just hearers of the Word. Help us to be doers as well. And we'll thank You for what You do in our hearts and lives. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our text for this hour comes from the words which the Lord spake unto Moses when he was up on the mountain called Sinai. Israel had been brought out from Egyptian bondage. God had set them free. We read about that in the early chapters of the book of Exodus. But God desired something more. You see, God did not just want to deliver Israel, More than that, God wanted to dwell among them. I mean, God told Moses in Exodus 25:8, he said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Man, what a thought that God is so interested in us, that God wants to dwell in our midst. Moses said to the people, God doesn't just want to have a passing acquaintance with you, but rather God wants to be on familiar and on intimate terms with you. And can I say to us tonight, God wants more than just a relationship with us when we walk in the doors of the church. God wants more than just a Sunday acquaintance with us. God wants to dwell among us and walk with us and talk with us and move in our hearts and our lives every moment of every day. That's how interested God is in us. What a thrill to think that God desired to reside in their midst. And so God began to give Moses instructions concerning this thing called the tabernacle. And from Exodus all the way through the book of Hebrews, we read about the tabernacle. Do you realize that the tabernacle was of great importance to God? In fact, it was so important that God devotes some 50 chapters of the Bible just to talking about the tabernacle. I mean, think about it. While he uses only 2 chapters to speak of making the universe and all that it contains, he devotes over 4% of the entire totality of Scripture to the matter of this tabernacle, which its court was only 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. And yet it was of such significance to God that he went on and on and on and on and on about it. Why? It doesn't make sense to us until we begin to consider the fact and understand the fact that the tabernacle is the most complete and perfect type of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ that's found on the pages of Scripture. And can I tell you, God is always interested in that which deals with His Son. That which lifts up His Son and the work which He would do, that which testifies about this Son in whom He has well pleased, God is very interested in that. And every part of this tabernacle was specifically described and designed. God told Moses about what materials to use. He instructed him as to the measurements that everything was to be. He told him about the fabrics and the furnishings, the colors and the construction, even the arrangement of the articles in the tabernacle itself, everything. Nothing was left to Moses' discretion. Everything was specifically and carefully enunciated and laid out by God Himself. The construction of such a thing would require a skill and an ability which was not available to the people of Israel. Now think about this. They have just come out of Egyptian bondage. When they are in Egyptian bondage and Moses goes to Pharaoh, you know what they are doing? They are gathering straw and making mud bricks. Now can I say this? It doesn't take a lot of talent and ability to make mud bricks. In fact, I think I could make mud bricks. In fact, probably your 5-year-old, if you send him outside after the rainstorm, he'll begin to get in the mud and make mud bricks. It doesn't take a lot of talent and ability. But when they got ready to build this tabernacle, God was going to say things like, I want you to take a talent of gold, one piece, and I want you to take a hammer and I want you to beat it into the shape of a candlestick, of which it will have 6 branches and a middle candlestick. And on each of the branches, I want you to hammer into shape decorations like a bowl and a knop and a flower. Now, how in the world are you going to take somebody whose skill and talent is making mud bricks and put a hammer in their hand and say, take this chunk of gold and make a candlestick out of it? They were to take curtains and to weave them in multicolored fashion. And in the midst, woven into the midst, they were to take fine wire like gold and to weave it into the shape and the design of cherubims in the midst of these curtains. How in the world are they going to do something like this? You see, they have been slaves, not craftsmen. The Egyptians were trying to work them to death, not teach them a skill which could enhance their livelihood. So if they're going to do what God wants them to do, it's going to require something unusual. Now I want you to notice in our text tonight the provision of the ability. What God desired for them to do, He provided them the ability to do it. He said in verse number 2, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." He said, "In wisdom and in understanding and knowledge, all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in cutting of stones to set them, in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted. I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Notice the divine selection. Notice what all this involved. There was divine selection. God said, "I have called." They were chosen of God. There was divine sufficiency. God said, "I have filled. I have given them everything they need." There was divine support. God said, "I have given with him." And he begins to name other people. There was a divine stake in this. God said, "I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee." God said, "I've made a great investment in this. I have given them everything that they will need, every ability, every talent, every skill, every bit of know-how. I have already put it in their heart." Notice it's all past tense. And by the way, Moses is still up on the mountain. He has not come down yet, and God is already speaking to him in past tense, saying, "I have already given them the ability that they will need to do what I am commanding them to do." Did you notice this? The provision of this ability was there before the need ever arose. And can I say to you, every need that you and I have in our life, God has already made provision for it. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Nothing ever takes him unawares. God has already made provision for every need that may occur in our life. So there is the provision of this ability. Now, what was the purpose of this provision? Notice what the Bible says. Why had God enabled them? Verse number 6 tells us at the end of that verse, he said, "I have given them this ability that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Very simply, the ability was given so that they could do what God had instructed them to do with their life. What was it? The fashioning of the furniture, the fabricating of the coverings and the curtains, the forming of the utensils, the finishing of the structure, the greatest single type of Christ and his person and his work, this tabernacle. God said, "I have given you the ability to do this phenomenal work, just like I've laid out for Moses. I have equipped and enabled you to do what I'm asking you to do." By the way, did you realize this? Their purpose was greater than their past. Oh, if we're not careful, we get hung up on our past, don't we? But God says, "What I've got for you in the future." What was their past? They were slaves in bondage. But God says, "I've got a greater purpose for you. And the purpose I have for your life is to design something that is going to point men, women, boys, and girls for ages to come to the person and work of Jesus Christ." Oh, can I say to you, that's exactly our story, is it not? Our past is that we were bondmen. We were slaves to sin. We were under judgment. We were under condemnation. But just like the Israelites, we were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Not a lamb shed and its blood sprinkled and its blood put on the doorpost and over the lintel. Not that Passover lamb, But the Lamb that John the Baptist saw when he said, as he saw Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," that Lamb whose blood was shed on Calvary, we were delivered by the blood of that Lamb. And now God has a purpose for us, and the purpose for our life is to point men and women, boys and girls, to the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we have the provision of the ability. We have the purpose for the ability. But here's something I'd never seen before as I read my Bible. Look at chapter 32. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain." Now, where is Moses? He's up in the mountain with God. By the way, while he's there, what is God doing? God is giving him the instructions for the construction of this great tabernacle. God has already told him, "Moses, I have already equipped and enabled the people to have the ability, the know-how, the understanding to construct this great work," which I'm telling you that they need to do. But notice, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me.' And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Now let me ask you the question. How do these people, whose greatest accomplishment to this point in time has been making mud bricks, how do they know how to make a golden calf? How do they know how to take an engraving tool and fashion that gold and make it? I tell you how they know how. Because God's already given them the ability. The problem is, here's the perversion of that ability. See, they're taking a talent, they're taking something, a gift, a blessing that God has given to them. What? For the purpose of His work. For the purpose of magnifying His Son and pointing men to Christ and what He will do one day in the future. And what have they begun to do? They have begun to use it for their own ends. And for their own purposes. Can I say this? I wonder how many of our churches are filled with people whom God has blessed, God has gifted, God has enabled with some talent, some skill, some ability. What? For the furtherance of the work of the church. For the magnification of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross of Calvary. And yet that gift, that talent, that ability has been perverted to a selfish end. Why did they do that? Well, let me just point out a couple things very quickly. First of all, I think they did it because of delayed plans. Number one, when the people saw, verse number 1 of chapter 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain. See, here was part of the problem. Things weren't happening on their schedule. How many of you like to wait on God? Good, I'm glad nobody raised their hand, because I'd figure you lie about other stuff too. I don't like to wait. Now you think I'm bad, my wife is worse. From the half second that light turns green, and I fail to put the pedal to the metal, she'll inform me that the light's green. I can go. I need to get going. I need to move on. We don't like to wait, do we? We want things to happen on our schedule, on our time, the way we have it planned, because we have a schedule and we have a plan and we have an agenda. But can I just remind you that God's agenda does not always jive with our agenda? And sometimes God has given us a talent or an ability. And maybe God's given you an ability to sing. And you think, well, just because they don't ask me to sing in church, I've got to find somewhere I can sing. And the next thing you know, they wind up singing somewhere what to glorify themselves rather than using that talent and ability to glorify God. Can I just say this? Just because God has not opened a door of service, an opportunity for you to serve right now, does not mean that He is not going to. Be patient and wait on God. Delayed plans, can I say this? I think sometimes people abuse their talent, misuse it, pervert this ability because of difficult pressures. Verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 32, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off your golden earrings. You see, here's what happened. The people begin to pressure Aaron to do something. And can I tell you, sometimes we pervert we take that ability that God has given us and we pervert it because other people pressure us to do something. Can I say, do not allow the pressures of your peers, of other people, to cause you to make a step for which you have not spent time in prayer and consultation with God. Wait on the Lord. Again, be patient. Don't let those pressures push you to a wrong place. Not only that, there's delayed plans, there's difficult pressures. But I think really here's the whole sum. There's desired pursuits. Notice what the people said. Verse number 1, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. You know what happened? The people got tired of where they were. They wanted somewhere else. They said, we need a God to go before us. Now, what would cause them to want to go somewhere else? You see, they wanted to move from that place because that was a place of requirements. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. It was a place of requirements. Not only that, but it was a place of restrictions. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Can I say, a lot of times, I wish I had time tonight to list to you the people to whom God had given some great ability and they perverted it for their own end. Can I ask you the question? Where did Elvis Presley start singing? In church. But what happened? Because it was a place of restrictions. Because it was a place of requirements. Because God didn't advance him as fast as he wanted to be advanced. What happened? He turned and perverted it to a worldly enterprise. Instead of exalting Christ, exalting himself. What about Dolly Parton? Where did she begin her career? In church. I could go on and on and on and on tonight. The world is literally filled with the lives of people who I believe with all of my heart God gifted in a special way with a talent, with the ability. I could tell you about men who have the ability, almost they have the Midas touch. Everything they touch turns to gold. Now, I'm the opposite. I mean, everything I touch tarnishes. That's why they never have me be the salesman, because I'd give everything away. You know, you come at me and you look at me with a sad look on your face and I'm digging in my pocket trying to buy it for you. Now, some of you are exactly the opposite. Everything you try turns out right. Why do you think you have the ability to make money, to increase your wealth? Is it so that you can build a bigger house? Is it so that you can have nicer cars? Is it so that you can go on more extreme vacations? No, I'll tell you why God has blessed you with that ability. What? So you can finance the work of God. so that you can get the gospel around the world, so you can underwrite the work of missionaries here and across the seas. Some of you have the talent and ability to play an instrument. I can't even play a radio without getting static. I can't play anything. I tried to play dead once and I couldn't quit breathing. I mean, I have no talent whatsoever. But some of you could pick up any instrument and play it. Why is that? So you can exalt yourself, so you can be glorified, so everybody can say, wow, what talent and ability you have. No, absolutely not. God's given you that ability because maybe there's a nursing home somewhere that God needs you to go and join in and play a guitar and sing to minister to those people who cannot make it to the house of God. Maybe God has a place of service for you, and God has given you that talent. God has given you that ability. My dad had the gift of gab. My dad never met a stranger. He could meet a person in 30 seconds. He was his best friend. I mean, he could talk to anybody. I can't even remember people's names. I pastored the same church. Never run more than 120 people. I pastored them for 14 years, and after 13 years, I'd stand on Wednesday night. I'd say, has anybody got a prayer request? Somebody would raise their hand, and I'd look at them, and I could think of their dog's name. I could think of their cat's name. I could think of their brother's name, their sister, their mother, their children. I could not think of their name to save my life. And I'd say, Susie's husband, what's your prayer request? And everybody would laugh. And my wife would say, oh, dear, do you know how embarrassing that is? I say, yeah, I know. I'm the one that did it. That's very embarrassing. I can't believe you can't think of people's names. I said, I can't believe I can't think of people's names either. But my dad, he could see a person one time, and 25 years later, he'd know their name. He'd know where they lived. He'd know their kid's name. I mean, he knew everything. He could remember all that stuff. Why did God give him that ability? So he could be a great salesman, so he could get rich? No, God gave him that ability so he'd have the ability to talk to people and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dad was a fabulous soul winner, and my dad could win people to the Lord left and right, and I wish I could do it as well as he could, and I can't, but I do the best I can. But can I tell you, if God has given you a talent and ability, use it for His honor and glory. Don't pervert it for your own use. You see, here's what happens. Notice the peril when the ability is perverted for our selfish use very quickly. Chapter 32 and verses 7 down through verse number 28. I'll not take time to read it. But here's what happens. First of all, there's divine wrath. Look in verse number 7. The Lord said to Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made them a molten calf and worshipped it, sacrificed thereunto, said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Look at verse number 10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Can I tell you, God is not pleased when we take an ability that He's given to us to use for Him, and we use it for something else. First of all, there's divine wrath. Number two, there's distressed workers. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19, it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh, Moses and Joshua were coming down, he saw the calf, the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, break them beneath the mount. I can speak from experience as a pastor. There is nothing as distressing as looking out in your congregation and seeing people that you know very well could fill certain needed areas in the church. Because they have that talent. They have that ability. But they're too busy using that talent and ability for their own ends to have time for God. I promise you tonight that there is something you can do in this church. I promise you from the bottom of my heart that if you come to your pastor and say, Pastor, I just want to serve God somewhere. What could I do? I'm sure he's not going to look at you and say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can use you for. You know what? As soon as he sees you, as soon as you say that, he's going to begin in his mind to think, we could use them here, we could use them there. I've seen the ability they have. I know what their gifts are. We've got a place where we could plug you in. Can I say this? Not only are there distressed workers in divine wrath, but there's dishonoring ways. You find these people, they're doing all kind of wicked things. They have a confusing song. When Joshua comes down, he thinks it's a sound of war. And Moses says, no, it's the sound of playing. Can I tell you, when you use your talent and ability to serve yourself, it brings confusion. Not only that, there's a carnival spirit. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. There's a carnal style. Moses says that Aaron has made them naked to their shame. And then tragically, there winds up with a divisive warfare. Do you realize that the people of God have to choose a side? In fact, Moses draws a line on the ground and says, who's on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. And I honestly believe that the vast majority of this modern Christianity, this emergent church, if you want to call it that, I believe the vast majority of it is people that God has gifted in a special way for His honor and for His glory. And instead, what they have done is they have taken it and begun to use it for themselves in a selfish and a wrong way. And instead of honoring God, it brings reproach upon the name of Christ. Can I just say tonight to us who are here, whatever ability God has given to us, use it for God's purpose. Use it, first of all, to fulfill His commandments. And number two, to bring honor and glory to His Son. We truly are blessed. What are we doing with our blessing? Are we using it for Him? Or have we stolen it to use for ourselves? With our heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder tonight, has God spoken to your heart? Is there some talent, some ability that you've taken and you've begun to use for your own means, for your own ends? Tonight, why not surrender it to God? In fact, tonight, why not just come to an altar and say, Lord, I'm not even sure what talent or ability you've given me, but whatever it is, I want you to show it to me, and then I want you to show me how I could use it to point men to Christ, to further the work of the local church. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, may you speak to our hearts and help us tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed, pianist is beginning to play. Maybe tonight you just need to slip to an altar and say, Lord, whatever my ability is, I want to use it for you. If I have the ability to sing, if I have the ability to play an instrument, if I have the ability to make money, if I have a great personality, I can talk to someone. Lord, if I have an ability to be a mechanic and to repair things, whatever it is, Lord, I want to use it for you. I trust we'll not hoard our abilities for ourselves, keep them for selfish purposes, but we'll use them to serve God. We'll lay everything on the altar. As we wait for just a few moments, some have come, some are praying. Perhaps you need to join them tonight. If you do, you'll be obedient to the Lord.
look this way, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss this whole group, along with Mr. and Mrs. Burcham, out to the lobby. I hope you'll go by their table. Do you have music CDs and stuff out there with you? Perfect. They've got music CDs out there. Please go by and let them know we appreciate them being here. As you leave tonight, let me give you three quick things. The men's ensemble needs to practice right after church tonight. The men's ensemble. Brother Daniel needs to meet with all parents of kids going to junior day camp and teen workers right here on the Oregon side of the auditorium. And then my wife needs to meet with all of the mothers of those who are going to the Purity Weekend. That is in the blue room. I know that's three things: men's ensemble, junior day camp parents and teen workers here, mothers of those going to the Purity Weekend in the blue room. Okay? Thank you so much for being here. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, would you bless now? Seal this in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.